This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Bulls are off and running, and Dan and Jason Bernstein are here to keep you up to date with the Stampede. You're listening to Organizations Win Championships.
It's episode number 71 of the Organizations Win Championships podcast and Odyssey podcast. I'm Dan Bernstein. That's Jason Bernstein. James Jackson is our producer, and the Bulls are being the Bulls. As ever, as always, same as it ever was.
As ass as they are.
The Bulls are now 37-41, and they're still ninth, but they clinched the play-in, and they're probably going to be the home team in the play-in thanks to that win over the Knicks. There's two more games with the Knicks, but they've got the tiebreaker against Atlanta. And here they are. We've just concluded an absolutely dismal loss to the Orlando Magic, 113-98. There was no Alex Caruso in this game, even though Kobe White did come back from his sprained ankle. And without Alex Caruso, they don't guard well enough.
They lost the game in the first quarter. That's really just what happened. And without Caruso, just sucks. They suck. Vooch was so unbelievably bad. DeRozan was fine, but he had seven turnovers, which is a big number. Kobe White struggled again. The only bright spot, Javonte Green. Got in foul trouble, but he shot 6 of 7 from the field, and he made his threes.
Yeah, Javonte Green had 15 points following up on his record-setting effort. I don't know what to say about this game. I know that I want to say that Paolo Banchero is really good at basketball.
He's great. He's great.
He's so good.
He's got some Carmelo in him, a little bit of Tatum, but the thing is that he's 6'10", and he's strong. Am I saying he's as good as those two guys? No. Do I think he could be? Why not? I think he has every bit of talent to be just as good as either of those guys. And I know Carmelo Anthony, I feel like he's underappreciated all time. He's not talked about enough just because he didn't win a ring. And people forget how dominant he was, and Paolo Banchero can really take over a game if he wants to, and I wish more people were talking about him. What he's able to do offensively and defensively, being that big and that strong and being able to move the way he does, he's a handful. And when you have a supporting cast like they do, they're pretty good. Dude, I don't know if they can...
I don't think they shoot enough threes to challenge in the East, but their variance right now as far as seeding goes is really kind of wild.
Yeah.
Because they came in to this game, I think, is sitting fourth at 45-32. Now they're 46-32, which would tie them with Cleveland. So there's still a lot that can happen in these final games, because Miami, correct, look, you got Philadelphia, the eighth seed at 43-35.
Yeah, anything can happen, really.
But I do not see them as a challenger because of their inability to consistently hit three-pointers.
Except for Joe Ingles.
Yeah,
he's
fine.
Of
course he's fun. What did Stacey call him today?
The drunk uncle, and then mom called him Drunkle. Joe.
And he's always running his mouth, and I don't know what he's saying half the time, but it's fun.
He's fun. The Magic are good, and they're just getting started because they're young, and I think they can keep getting better, and I think they will, and they could be dangerous even as soon as next year if they keep developing and they add maybe one or two shooters. They can really make some noise at some point soon. They're kind of like the Thunder of the East, if you will. Different play styles, but similar type of young core and vibe, I get. I mean, that's just what I get from them. Are they as good? No. Can they be? Yes.
So let's talk about what really matters.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah.
Now, I said this last night, and I meant it. It is a rare thing as a sports fan when you have sort of a pet player. It's somebody who you, a guy you like more than other people like. I went through this as a White Sox fan with Ivan Calderon, where I just decided he was going to be my guy because things happened around him. Cool, weird, fun things. It must have
been a lot more exciting to be a White Sox fan when they had Ivan Calderon on the team.
Actually,
instead
you know what?
Of this team.
Hold on a sec. Talk for a second.
Talk. I got a limp over here.
It might be in my
room. Talk about Javonte. Is it your room?
Might be.
Why?
I'm not going to spoil what he's about to get, but... Oh, I guess he's got it. But Javonte Green is... the greatest player of all time. I'm saying this when because he's not here right now and I'm allowed to. So okay. what he's been able to do.
This is one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten. This is a game worn Ivan Calderon jersey.
Looks a lot better in the current MLB jerseys.
Huh. It's certainly better made.
That's what I mean. But Javonte Green had 25 points and 13 rebounds, and every bit of it mattered. And it was a lot of it came after Josh Hart kicked him in the head, and
he looked
at him directly in the eyes and just kind of threw his leg at his
jaw. He looked at, and he didn't.
He was pretty athletic.
He
I'm
wasn't
not gonna lie.
Right. He wasn't finishing outward with his leg. He brought it around and hit him.
Can I demonstrate on you?
On me? No, you're not kicking me in the head.
Why not?
Quit it.
You definitely can't kick me in the head with your injury right now.
I have injured foot. I have problem with foot from old injuries.
Javonte Green in 33 minutes.
Off the bench.
10 of 14 from the field. That's 71.4%. He made 1 of 2 threes, all 4 of his free throws, 5 offensive rebounds, 8 defensive rebounds, 13 total, an assist, 2 steals, a block, and 1 turnover. So you ask, why is that meaningful?
Because it's Javonte Green, dummy.
Well, beyond that.
Javonte Green, dummy.
Beyond that, it had never been done before.
You sent it to me, this stat.
I've got the stat. It's right here. Javonte Green, according to our friend Jeff Fairer, he is the first player in NBA history to come off the bench and have a stat line of at least 25 points, 13 rebounds, 70% field goal percentage, 2 steals, and a 3. The first player ever in the history of the NBA.
And a double clutch reverse.
Yes, and a double clutch reverse. But the reason I bring it up is, for the rest of your life, no matter what, you know you got to see your sort of fun, novelty favorite player have the best game of his career. What?
Nasty. But...
did you have strips? Did you have the Listerine strips?
I don't know if I have
you always have them. But you got to see your guy have the best game.
Unless he pulls a Malachi Flynn and drops 50.
And then did you see Malachi Flynn's next game?
What?
He was like over 12 from the field.
Oh, God. It's Jordan Poole 2.0.
Yes. Yes. It was Jordan Poole 2.0. But I just thought it was really cool to have a Javonte party, if nothing else. And I guess because they waived Terry Taylor.
I also want to say Drummond was very good. He had 10 and 16.
He's made money. I think somebody's going to pay him.
What, like $10
million? Oh, I don't know exactly how much, but more than he's making this year. I think someone will give him a multi-year deal, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. He's not that old.
But what were you going to say?
I was going to say that, what was I going to say? We're talking about Javonte, but you got to watch him have the best game he's going to have in his career. Oh, and I wasn't sure. He is playoff eligible. He is play-in eligible, I should say.
Yes, you were saying he's not playoff eligible as long as he's on the team.
Yes, because it's not a second 10-day because they waived Terry Taylor and because they made him a permanent member of the team. He's on the roster.
There's no deadline for that.
But the what's incredible is how the dire need. People say energy with him. It is it's ability to jump and run and move and desire to jump and run and move. It's athleticism. They are so unathletic,
as well as the impact that Caruso has, just his presence on the floor defensively.
Sure.
And isn't he shooting a career best from the 3-point line?
Caruso?
Yeah.
Oh, I think by a mile.
Yeah.
He and Io both. Io's been brilliant from the 3-point line.
Don't get me wrong. I think Io, it's a given that he's vital to this team. But Caruso's presence was missed badly in the Orlando game, and you can see why when looking at the result and the gameplay of the Knicks matchup.
And there's two more matchups with the Knicks. I loved watching the Thibodeau cam that they have on him with that expression on his face. He's just he's so unhappy, but it's kind of fun because if you speak Thibodeau, you know Thibodeau, and you watch, he's screaming out all the defenses still.
Ice.
Although he didn't yell ice as much, because I think basically the league is presumed icing pick and roll a lot more than they used to. He's helped popularize it. They used to call it blue or down, and now he just starts.
Thanks for mansplaining pick and roll to the audience.
I was hoops explaining pick and roll to you, actually. If I had asked you what are the other two calls for ice, you wouldn't have known.
I wouldn't have known, but I wouldn't have needed to know because it doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Well, let's take a look then at the just announced 2024 and Basketball Hall of Fame class that mm-hmm. is going to be enshrined. And there are six former players, one who's now has gone in as a player, a coach, and an executive.
Something
right?
like that.
Jerry West, I think, is going in as an executive. I think when you're the logo, he could also go in as the logo.
Whatever. I think Javonte Green should be the new NBA logo.
We'll take that under advisement.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think it should be Markelle Fultz's jump shot.
Oh, Dad, that's rude. Okay. You can't talk crap about him. Look at the stats. Look at the box score. Okay. Look at the box score for the Magic.
Okay.
Scroll down to Fultz.
Wow.
8 of 12 from the field, 1 of 1 from 3. Yeah. I don't want to hear
6
it.
Rebounds, 2 assists. Yeah, it is not a pretty shot, but I give him credit for working his way back. You're right. Yeah.
No, he was shut up.
Okay, fine.
Click there now.
Click where? Here?
Yeah.
Okay. The Hall of Fame class also includes, one with a definite Bulls connection and another that somebody wanted to be a Bulls connection that never mm-hmm. happened. You don't know the story. Obviously, the Bulls connection is former Bulls head coach Doug Collins, who was also a Score basketball contributor when I first started hosting a talk show.
Okay.
He was terrific on the air. And I was actually working at Channel 2 in the summer of 89 when Doug got fired out of the blue. Out of nowhere, the Bulls fired Collins and promoted this no-name assistant coach, Phil Jackson, and nobody knew what was going on. Everybody was like, what happened? And that's when we started with this whole point A to point B guy and point B to point C guy. The other name that has a Bulls connection, Walter Davis. He played collegiately at North Carolina. He's a really good player. I never thought he was going to be a Hall of Famer, frankly. I mean, I just didn't. He was a sort of a very good NBA player for a long time, and Michael Jordan loved him. And near the end of his career, he was a free agent, and Jordan was just all over Jerry Krause to sign him.
Okay.
Just like, we need Walter Davis. This team needs Walter Davis. And they were like, okay, whatever, Michael, whatever. Because Michael, we know, great player, not a great GM or basketball executive when it comes to putting teams together. And we all
Charlotte Bobcats. Well, I remember those days.
Washington Wizards. I mean, drafting Kwame Brown and all that stuff. And then they yelled at him. This was I was a little surprised to see Walter Davis there. Good on Vince Carter. Absolutely deserved.
Oh, yeah. Played 4 decades?
I think it's
90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2020s. Yeah, he played in 4 decades.
Chauncey Billups had himself one hell of a career and is currently a head coach. And Michael Cooper. That surprises me, too. You talk about getting in on defensive ability and reputation.
Pat Riley in Winning Time or Adrian Brody. You think you're a star. You're not. Stop acting like one.
Yeah, but Coop lock you up now. Coop would.
Yes, he'd lock me up.
He would lock one up. Ask Larry Bird about being guarded by Michael Cooper. If you really want to hear some respect from an all-time great about what it meant to have that guy where other people might buy the head fake, other people might buy his lean out back cut move. Michael Cooper was an outstanding and selfless defender. And I'm happy to see somebody getting recognition for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your thoughts? Anything? Mr. Basketball History?
Love Winning Time. Good for him.
Sky Point Winning Time.
Yeah. Rest in
peace.
Yeah.
Sucks that it's not back.
Yeah. It hurts.
We spent a lot of time the last few days watching a lot of NCAA basketball. There's been some good. There's been some bad. There's been some individual plays. Today, both of us watched every minute of the NCAA women's final.
Great game.
Terrific game.
Well played.
Hard
well
fought. And I mean, throughout the whole thing, I mean, both of these competitors on every level, the players, the coaches, there was a lot of respect involved. There were some terrific performances. Everybody played hard.
A lot of made shots, too.
All the stuff that was said afterwards was fantastic. What a peak. I can't wait to see what the viewership is.
So happy Kim Mulkey wasn't there. My Lord.
That made it awesome. But what a time for the women's game. And just to see the respect that's being given across the board for everybody involved, not just the quality of the South Carolina dynasty. And they are that.
They play like UConn's men's team. They're very similar teams.
Big, and everybody
strong,
can shoot it.
And everybody can shoot.
They lost their whole team last year too, right? Didn't they have everybody go?
There are a lot of players. Yeah, Leah Boston left, and they got some transfers, some freshmen, and Dawn Staley's one hell of a coach.
She can coach a hell out of it, and they played great. It always felt like it was a matter of time watching the game that they were going to kind of step on Iowa's neck. And it took them time. And the fact that
Iowa, too,
they kept battling back.
It was very clear South Carolina was the better team. 100%.
Not a doubt in anyone's mind.
And the fact that Iowa hung on with them forever. And I think, obviously, there's someone we need to mention. Caitlin Clark.
Well, I was going to save a whole
piece for that. Okay, go ahead.
But I was just going to say that even she said that if these teams played a best of five series,
they'd win.
She wasn't sure that they would be able to win three.
Yeah.
But winning one is different than winning three. And you always have a puncher's chance when you have someone shooting it from 30 feet and able to see everybody else on the floor. I thought her teammates played okay.
They played a lot better early, but I would say Gabby Marshall was really good defensively. And she had a couple of clutch plays, like a hustle play to prevent a backcourt, and made a couple big shots. And Kate Martin was pretty good too.
That's a coach.
What's her name? Lisa.
Lisa Bluter?
Bluter. I think she said that.
I like Lisa Bluter.
Yeah, both coaches were great. And Dawn Staley's fantastic.
Lisa Bluter looks like somebody it would be awesome to play golf with.
Yes, 100%.
Yes. I don't know why.
Yep.
She just looks like she'd be really fun on the golf course.
Yes, like, while like, you just chunk it around.
Just
everywhere.
No, but it looks like she'd be fun, like have things to talk about, be just profane enough. She'd probably spring for beers when the cart came by.
Yeah.
I don't know why it seems that way, but it just has that kind of that feel.
Camila Cardoso was just destroying them because, I mean, she's 6'7", and they couldn't guard her. And the thing that she had, I mean,
well, Chloe Kitts too.
Chloe Kitts was good.
Plays taller than I thought. Like plays longer than I thought.
Yeah, does not have the prettiest jump shot ever.
No.
Both Cardoso and Kitts were able to get seemingly every single offensive rebound. And something about Cardoso is really good touch around the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going to be 6'7", and if you're going to be a big man, quote unquote, it's really important if you're that much taller than everybody to have good touch around the rim, especially if you're not going to be stretching the floor. And Cardoso was able to put it up off the glass with a lot of spin and finesse. And she was able to make a lot of contested shots because of that. It was just a fun game, really was. But you were going to say something.
Let's talk about the best player in the women's game and one of the best players in the history of all of college basketball is now moving out of the WNBA. There are a lot of passes that she makes to her current teammates that go unconverted or that end up maybe a little bit too close or too perfect that in the WNBA, in the pros, when she starts really leading people down the floor, starts throwing some of these lobs, these are going to be converted.
Yeah.
Like her assist numbers could be insane.
Oh, and the thing is that if Iowa was able to convert more of those plays, she would score more as well, because you would have to be so conscious of her passing ability that if you sag off a little bit, as we saw, because Raven Johnson did not shoot well, but my God,
good player.
Great defender. She was giving her fits the entire game. She still had 30 points. I mean, it's just ridiculous. 18 in the first quarter, I believe. It's hard to guard somebody when they're pulling up from 30 feet and lacing it every single time.
I love how physically Caitlin Clark plays. She pushes off like Reggie Miller.
Yeah, it's
she. And I, that's a compliment. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. That is a compliment. She'll get arms tangled up and look like she's disentangling, and she's shoving you in the floating rib while she's moving back. It has every understanding of some of those angles and some of how much distance she has in between a screen and a defender and the sideline to just kind of just shoot her way through that gap enough to catch and get rid of the ball, and just physically tough, plays with a swagger,
aware. And just skilled. She's just ridiculous.
Hooper. She's a legit hooper.
She's ridiculously talented. And it's almost like LeBron versus the Warriors. And maybe last year is their 2016 year where they beat undefeated South Carolina. And they turned into a pumpkin at midnight this year.
So as you're listening to this this morning, Monday morning, tonight is the NCAA final between a pair of number one seeds and a pair of giant human beings. It's going to be Zach Edey and Purdue.
Tracy Wilson is going to have to get 8 ladders tonight.
Yeah, she was up on a ladder, and she'll be talking to, I imagine, either Zach Edey or Donovan Klingon. My guess is it's going to be Donovan Klingon. I do not see any way that this machine of the UConn offense, defense, transition game, they're too good, they're too reliable.
Right. It's just like South Carolina, where it seemed like whenever the other team makes a run, they hit a shot. Every single time they'll stymie whatever is going on. And it's really hard to beat teams like that. They take a lot of time off the clock and they convert a lot. And that goes without saying, their defense is great. Having Klingon in the paint, being able to swat everything is really valuable. And I mean, he can be an okay NBA player.
Let's talk about the NBA thing in a second. I did make what I thought pretty good scouting or coaching.
And Nate Oates saw it as well.
He did. Nate Oates saw it as well, but you never really gave me enough credit for it. You were out, you came home or you weren't watching. And I was
tired.
And I said, yeah, you worked all day. Jason's working at a sporting goods store now. And he's actually pretty good at it. So I said,
that was so condescending.
You never done retail before.
I can talk about golf equipment.
I know, but you also don't suffer fools gladly, and in retail you have to suffer fools gladly. You can't call a guy a schmuck and hit him over the head with a Scotty Cameron putter.
I really wanted to this one dude. And so did my coworker, and it was pretty hilarious. And we talked about him after.
So anyway, Donovan Klingon cannot spin backward over his right shoulder, nor does he have a move to the reverse over his right shoulder.
I think he should be trained by DJ Burns.
Well, DJ Burns can move either direction over either shoulder, and that's what makes him awesome. But when Klingon catches...
I love DJ Burns.
When he catches on the left block, it is really... Nate Oates was overplaying. And Matt Painter's not stupid. He's going to see that too. I'm interested in how they guard Klingon, because when Purdue's defense is at his best, you know who Edey is guarding?
Nobody.
Exactly.
The paint.
He kind of, not just the paint, it is the paint, but also one step away from a perimeter challenge.
He's that big.
One step. He's at nobody and everybody at the same time, where they kind of zone him up, is their best defense. But it's really interesting how Klingon always wants to turn back around that left shoulder. He doesn't have a drop step. He doesn't have that little reverse move, nor does he have a reliable fall away. That's still missing from his game. If he gets that, if you want to start talking NBA now,
go ahead.
His ceiling, Donovan Klingon's ceiling, is as a reliable, wealthy backup center.
So you're saying like a Zach Collins or
an Alex Len.
Bigger.
But I'm saying that job. Like a guy who like, or the other Plumlee, somebody.
Mason? He's riding the bench just because he's on the Clippers.
But there's one of these legitimate backup fives who can back up a really good player.
When in his prime, this guy is a little bit of a better shooter, but kind of like a Myers Leonard type guy, or not as good.
He's not a good shooter, not as good an athlete.
Myers Leonard,
much better athlete.
He's a starter.
And can get up and down the floor really well.
and he hates Jewish people.
No, he's actually okay. Done okay ever since that incident.
That's true.
He's worked hard. I give him credit for that.
That's true.
But
that was,
I think
that was bad.
I think Caravan could be an NBA player, and obviously the what's the shooter guy? The freshman.
Newton or Castle?
Newton.
Newton's not a freshman.
Oh, who's the guy?
Castle's the freshman.
Castle Newton pulls up from anywhere. He's got.
Does he?
Was that the guy we saw? Yes. Yes, it was Newton was the guy that was shooting from everywhere. There's Castle, there's
Spencer,
Carabans, and Spencer's tough too. He's, but I don't know if he's big and
G-leaguer, total G-leaguer.
You think?
Oh yeah, he's a total. He's like a what's his name? Gabe York on.
that's a great name.
Like or David's not
good
the
name.
Play style, but I
no,
just
I know
Gabe York is a sniper that just isn't quite. He got a stint in the NBA with the Pacers. During the whole COVID thing, but he just career G leaguer. He'll score a lot, but he'll never hit that level.
And I think Edie is just too big and good enough to not be in the NBA.
He's coordinated.
He's going to be
coordinated, and he's 7'4".
If Luka Garza can be in the league, Zach Edie.
Luka
can
Garza
be in the
just got. Hold on, Luka Garza is a better player. I'll tell you that right now. Luka Garza just signed with the T-Wolves for the rest of the season. He can shoot. Luka Garza can really shoot it. He's got a little bit of a handle. He's got some post moves. I know Edie's bigger or he's taller.
Significantly so.
But Garza is a more skilled player.
Yes.
You need to cool off on that.
Do you think Edie's better than Boban?
Yeah, he's younger. So, I mean,
you think he's better?
Yeah, I'm saying he's younger, so he's probably a little bit more spry.
Yeah.
But... I mean, not a good baseball pitcher. I throw harder than he does.
I don't make a lot of predictions, but I will tell you, I always say, if I think something, I will say, I'm going to say Connecticut by 8.
I'd say they win by more than 10.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, we shall see. Well, there you go. There you have it. There is your preview on the OWC, which leads us to the showdown. It's that time.
Oh, boy.
What? I got a good one, I think. Two. It's expanded from naming where people went to college to all kinds of NBA trivia. So that's where we are right now. Let's see what the boy picked out. And what have you, boy?
So, as we know, Javonte Green scored 25 points off the bench.
We do.
The other night. So my question to you is, can you, against the Bulls on 3 separate occasions, they have allowed a 19-year-old to score 25 off the bench. Can you name
the
three?
Oh my God, I'm sure.
One of them was this season. The other one of them was in 2022, I believe.
Jalen Green.
No. And the and off the bench. And the other was in 1997.
Duren?
No. You're on the right track though with young NBA players that have a lot of skill.
I
will say I love the guy that they gave it up to this year. I love this guy.
Is it Derek Lively?
No. I love this guy. He was a second round pick. We actually mentioned he's the only one of these three to go to college, actually. I'll say that. But they're all American.
They're all American players.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm not going to get this. I can tell you right now. I'm not. But because I already thought I had some good guesses.
He is the youngest player in the NBA currently. You'll be mad.
It doesn't. Did he play in a major school?
Yes.
Did he play in the Big Ten?
No.
Did he play in the Big East?
No.
Did he play in the Pac?
No.
ACC?
No.
SEC?
Yes.
Did he play for LSU?
No.
Did he play for, we could be here all day.
We mentioned the school earlier.
The school earlier.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man. We talked about it about 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. The only SEC.
South Carolina.
Yes.
I don't know.
GG Jackson.
Oh. They got 25 from GG Jackson.
27.
Okay.
And this game was against the Warriors in 2022. I will say this, played with Jalen Green pre-NBA.
Was it G League Ignite?
Yep.
So he played for the G League at night. It wasn't Wiseman didn't play there. Oh, I know who it is. Eric?
No. Don't
touch I know me. Who it is. Give Don't... me his initials.
No.
Yes.
Last name starts with a K.
I know that. Give me the first one.
J.
J.K.? Jonathan Kuminga.
Yes.
Okay. And now the 1997 one.
Yep.
Was he a good player?
Yes.
Did he end up being a really good player?
Yes.
What team?
Not telling you.
You won't tell me what team?
You would give it away.
In 1997. So was it off the bench, though,
mm-hmm.
you said?
In 97.
Off the bench. It's going
to
be.
Remember this. Did not go to college, but he's American.
Did not go. Well, that was everybody back then. Jermaine O'Neal.
No. Better.
Better than Jermaine O'Neal. What year? Dwight Howard.
He came out in 04.
Okay.
But better.
Better?
Oh, yeah.
LeBron.
No. Little worse. A little worse, but.
Okay. Carmelo went to college.
Mm-hmm. Better.
Better than Carmelo?
Yep. Easily. All time? Yeah.
And he didn't go to college. Durant went to... So this guy's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
He's still playing?
No. Kobe Bryant.
Okay. Pretty good.
Kobe Bean.
Kobe Bean. But he was off the bench.
Off the bench. And in 97, you drafted in 96, so yeah. Surprised you didn't get that.
Here's your question.
Okay.
Four players to win titles with three different teams.
Four players to win titles with... Robert Horry.
Robert Horry is correct. He won two with Houston, two with the Spurs, and three with the Lakers.
Danny Green.
Danny Green, Spurs, Raptors, Lakers. One should be obvious.
Should be obvious?
Yeah.
LeBron.
Yes, obviously. LeBron, Miami, Cleveland,
I'm an idiot.
And the Lakers. And this is the tough one.
It's not Steve Kerr.
It is not Steve Kerr.
He won it with the Spurs.
Although
and the
this
Bulls.
Guy, this guy did win one with the Bulls.
Robert Parrish? No.
No.
Let's put it away. Put it away. No. So was it in the second three-peat?
Yes.
Okay. Now don't tell me. Not Rodman, was it?
No. It was not Rodman.
Because I know he won with the Pistons.
So did this guy.
Stop. I'm thinking like 04 Pistons.
No.
Oh, it was the late 80s?
Yeah. This guy was a centerpiece of those Pistons teams.
Stop. I told you no more hints. You just can't help yourself, dummy.
Well, because I don't want to. It's bad radio to sit here and let you go with your thumb up your
That's head. What you were doing.
It's all right, but you were giving hints.
Barely. And I only give you hints because you.
Bears. Barely.
this is good radio?
All right.
I'm assuming a big man based
on
what you said.
Yeah. Not like
with the Bulls?
He didn't really play with the Bulls. He was just a victory cigar.
Just there.
Great in the locker room.
White guy?
Nope.
Oh.
Awesome to talk to in the locker room. Big personality. He was sort of a guy you didn't like when he was on the other team, but then you realize that's just sort of how he played. He won two with the Pistons. He won with the Bulls, and then he won one with the Lakers. All four of these players won one with the Lakers.
With the Lakers?
Yeah, end of bench. I didn't even know he was on that team.
I have no clue.
John Sally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that.
There you go. And that's going to do it.
Did not know he was a Bull.
He was, indeed. That is episode 71 of Organizations Win Championships.
The Javonte Green good episode.
Yeah.
Nikola Vucevic bad episode.
Ugh. Hey. All right, so Connecticut by 8. You say Connecticut by 10.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it. So
it'll be Connecticut by 9.
Like it, subscribe, download it. What are the other things we do? We
like, subscribe, download. You say rate.
Yeah, rate it. Rating it is good. What else?
Or bad.
No, don't. No, rating is not bad. Don't rate it bad. Rate it good. It's good. See?